Chapter 3. A Crazy Situation.
Stevenson Avenue, Newbridge, July 19th, 8:30 a.m. That gives me time to find Matt first and stop him.
Linda gave Mr. Wells the information to put into his portable computer.
OK, it's ready, said her teacher, with great emotion in his voice. Good luck, Linda. I'll try to repair your PC, but the preservation of the past is in your hands.
There was the image of a rotating hourglass on the screen of Mr. Wells' computer. Linda sat down in front of it and looked around her room.
Goodbye, Mr. Wells. I hope I'll be home soon with Matt.
She pressed Enter and disappeared in a flash of white light. Linda was in the middle of the road, and there was a car coming. She fell, and the car stopped centimetres from her and the portable computer.
Phew, that was close,
she thought. Are you okay? Where did you come from? Said the driver, worried. He helped Linda to stand up and was happy to see she wasn't hurt. Linda stared at the man. She recognised his kind face from photographs, and she thought that he looked like her best friend. It was Matt's dad.
I'm sorry, Mr. John... sir.
Linda corrected herself, but the man looked at her and the PC curiously. How do you know my name? He asked, surprised.
I'm a friend of Matt's,
replied Linda, embarrassed. Oh, Mr. Johnson smiled. Matt never told me about you. What's your name?
Linda,
said Linda. And thinking quickly, she added,
I mustn't miss my bus. Bye!
Matt's dad watched in surprise as Linda ran off in the opposite direction from the bus stop.
This is crazy,
thought Linda.
What a coincidence!
She stopped running, and when she looked back, she saw Mr. Johnson drive away.
What do I do now? Mr. Wells thinks that Matt programmed his arrival for the day of the accident, which is tomorrow. But I want to watch the house in case he arrives today. But what about tonight? I can't stay here in the street. I need a place to sleep.
She looked around. She was in a typical English suburban street of large detached houses, all with colourful gardens in front of them and large cars parked outside. Linda's mind was full of worries and doubts.
And if Matt doesn't arrive? Mr. Wells said we can't change the past. But I can't let Matt's parents die in that accident tomorrow. It's too awful. I must warn them.
Linda looked around, perplexed. Suddenly she gave a cry. Matt! Linda hid quickly behind a black car parked on the road. Coming out of the house opposite were Matt and his mother. Matt's mum was exactly like her pictures in Matt's photo album. But Matt was different. He seemed younger.
Of course,
thought Linda.
That's Matt before I knew him.
She watched as they got into a car and smiled.
He must be late for school as usual. But what am I saying? This is crazy. What's going to happen if the two Matts meet?
As Matt's mum's car went down the street, the black car in front of Linda started to move. She jumped to her feet with fright. Inside were two men in black with dark glasses. They looked at her suspiciously, and the electric window came down.
Hello, I dropped my computer,
stammered Linda.
Can you tell me if there's a youth hostel near here?
But the men didn't speak. The window went up, and they drove away.
How strange. What do they want, I wonder?
Thought Linda.
This is stupid,
thought Matt.
I'm certainly in Newbridge. I recognise some buildings, and I know I'm near home, but in this fog I'm lost.
Then he heard a church bell ringing. It was midnight.
I know that bell. It's St. Thomas's Church. Across the park, and I'm home.
In the dense fog, Matt couldn't find the park gate, and decided to climb over the wall.
I can't remember seeing fog like this in Newbridge,
he thought,
jumping down into the gardens.
Something isn't right.
Suddenly, an enormous black dog ran out of the fog and blocked Matt's way.
What have we here?
Said a voice, and a tall man with a large gun appeared behind the dog.
A young thief on the master's property,
he continued in a low, menacing voice.
It's the workhouse for you, my boy,